I'm Ann Wilson, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room today to promote her new album, Fierce Bliss, please welcome the lead singer, founding member of Heart, and a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, Ann Wilson. Hello, Ann. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Pat?
I am good. So where are you currently? Where am I talking to you from?
You're talking to me in Palatka, Florida, which is close to St. Augustine. And that's where I live now.
All right. And I'm in Los Angeles. And this is amazing how we can talk like this across country.
Crazy. I know. It's just so futuristic now, you know.
It really is. So Ann, Fierce Bliss, it's your third proper solo album. You have a couple of EPs in there too.
Yep.
How did this come about? Was this a COVID lockdown project?
The songs were written in COVID lockdown. Yeah. And, but I managed to get together in the same room with my band and record just by, observing strict COVID protocol, you know, like we were masked and all that kind of stuff. Because I have never gotten good results from sending files around and stuff.
No,
digitally. It's just not the same, you know.
No.
Yeah. So that's how we did it. We just were careful. We didn't sneeze on each other. We kept our masks on, and we did it.
And so the upcoming tour, you got tour dates starting very soon. I think May 4th might be the first tour date.
Yeah.
May 4th in San Francisco. And I guess you still have to observe all the protocols then too, at least for a while, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when we go out on the road, we have strict protocol in our tour group. Like everybody has to be vaccinated. They have to prove it. We usually test everybody real often during the tour.
Yeah.
And if anybody comes up positive, that puts the lid on the whole tour. So we're very careful, and no one's allowed to just go out and fraternize anymore. You know, they have to stay in the dressing room. There's no catering. You know, you have to, it's all different, but so far we've been successful in keeping it on the road.
And I guess this puts a hold on meet and greets and things like that too.
Yeah. And that's too bad, because that's one of the things that people really like, you know, and, that's a certain connection with the audience that you don't get when you don't do meet and greets.
Yeah, I mean,
but they will come back.
Yeah, they will. I mean, it's great to come see the show, but to actually meet your hero after the show, that's like a once in a lifetime thing for a lot of people. So hopefully that'll come back soon, as you said.
Yeah.
So this new album, because I've had a chance to listen to it, I've been listening to it all week. It's amazing. Like, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to discount your other two solo albums, but this feels more proper in a way. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the packaging or the whole vibe, but I'm really loving Fierce Bliss. And this first single, it just kicks the album off perfectly. Greed. I love it.
Greed is lonely, constant craving for one
thank you. Thank you. I think that this record, because it of the 11 songs, seven of them are new originals, you know, has something to do with it. It's not a collection of covers.
Right. There's a few covers on here, but for the most part, original tunes. Who did you write Greed with?
Tom Bukovac.
All right. And he helped and he co-produced the album with you.
Yes. All of the songs except for Gladiator and Angels Blues, which I co-produced with Warren Haynes.
Who you've worked with before. He was on the Immortal album. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah.
You also have a video out, a very cool video for Greed.
Yeah. The video for Greed came about because we hired an art student who I think he's still in school. I think he's really young. And we just said, if you have ideas for this, we'd like to see that, because I wanted something really fresh. I didn't want to hire a bunch of professionals who charged like tons and tons of money and just give you a formula, you know?
Right.
I wanted to see what somebody young would do, just who's just learning the media and all that. And I like the video too. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And that's good. You hire someone young because they get a fresh start. And then you seem hip and cool also. Right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I love this lyric. I'm an angel. I'm a lush. Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, it just, this whole song kicks the album off perfectly. The opening track is so important, and you nailed it with this one for sure.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the opening track on any album, especially if you're going to listen to it chronologically like the artist meant, you know, the first song is really important because it either grabs you or bores you, you know?
Right, exactly. And I'm still an album person. I listen top to bottom. That's how I like to do it. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Me too. Yep.
So now there's a couple covers here. The one that really caught my attention was Queen's Love of My Life.
Bring it back, don't take it away from me because you don't know what it means to me.
I never imagined that song as a duet, and yet it works.
Yeah, it does. And we took it way far away from the Queen treatment of it, which, as you remember, is really sort of like chamber music and the Baroque and stuff. And so my version is raw and pretty straight ahead. And I wanted to do a duet with a man, but I didn't want somebody who sounded gruff and like a Tom Waits type of a guy. I wanted an angel. So there was only one choice, and it was Vince Gill.
Vince Gill. And he actually starts the song. So I wasn't looking at any, I wasn't looking at any liner notes when I was listening. So as soon as his voice came on, I was like, well, that's not Anne. Who is this? And then, but you're right. He doesn't sound gruff. So initially you're like, oh, wait a minute. What's this? And it's such a great duet. I love this version.
Yeah, me too. I think it worked out great. And Vince was so generous. I mean, he just got in his car all by himself and drove down from Nashville to Muscle Shoals where we were. And, you know, just came in his parka and sang the song. Got back in his car and went back home to Nashville, you know, very unassuming and humble. It was so great.
When you do a duet like this, do you sing it together or do you sing his part? I mean, your part, and then he comes in and does his part.
We on that song, we sang it separately, mm-hmm. but we rehearsed it together, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm sure that somewhere there's a rough version of us actually singing on the same or at the same time, you know, but we both wanted our vocals to be just so, you know, so
yeah.
we were able to fine tune them a little.
Now, if this song makes it into the set list, is there someone in the band that'll take Vince's part, or will you sing it solo?
Well, it is in the set list already, and I've just been singing it solo.
Okay.
But I've got visions of, like, going into, say, Chicago or something, and Robin Zander comes out, and he comes up and sings it, and then you go to a different city, and somebody else comes out, and he sings it. Maybe Vince comes when we're in Nashville, so who knows? I'm open.
Now, you brought up Robin Zander, and Cheap Trick is my number one favorite band of all time. And
great
band. In 1988-89, you and Robin got to sing together on Surrender to Me.
Is it that we've been together much too long? The answer may not be in black and white. We're always trying to prove who's right or wrong. And now we're giving up without a fight. But I know when you're gone, I wish I'd held on. So baby, surrender to me. Help me.
And that song, written by Richard Marx, that song, I still love that song. And the performance on that record is fantastic.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was a good song and a cool experience because we've been doing so much playing with Cheap Trick. And we were all kids coming up together in the late 70s and then throughout the 80s when they had their big hits, you know, with Surrender and the Top Gun stuff and all that. We kept in touch. And when we got together to sing on Surrender to Me, we both were sort of flying high at that point. And it was really great to meld it, to come out of our respective bands and meld it.
Yeah, I've seen Cheap Trick open for Heart many, many times, you know, from mm-hmm. from the 80s on. And just that's always a great double bill for me because being a fan of both bands.
Yeah, it's almost like we're brother and sister bands.
Yeah, it really feels that way. I love it. And I always have my fingers crossed. Oh, I wonder if they'll sing Surrender to Me together. But
yeah. But, well, it always comes up. It always comes up whenever we share a stage. And we just haven't done it yet because it would take rehearsal, you know?
Right, exactly. The name of the album, Fierce Bliss, where did that come from?
Well, I was trying to figure out what to call this collection of songs and this experience that I'd had making them. And it was just so positive. I just felt so good about it all. But I didn't just feel kind of good about it. I felt really good about it. And so that's where it came from.
Perfect. And then to top it all off, you have cover artwork by the legendary Roger Dean, who is best known for his work with Yes or Asia. Yeah. How did you hook up with Roger Dean?
Called him up.
Or
just wrote to him and said, hi. Because I was, you know, kind of a fangirl.
Yeah.
When he was doing his work with Yes, I was at art college and I was super big fan of his work, his fantasy art that just transports you to another world. And so we called him up and said, here's the name of this album. Would you consider doing an album cover for me? And he said, well, yeah, here, let me send you some stuff that I think might work for Fierce Bliss. And he sent what's called The Parrot on Ice, which ended up being the cover.
Okay.
And I really liked it. And he said, okay, give it back. Now I'm going to I'm going to tweak it. So okay. He did. Yeah.
Yeah. And he does the Ann Wilson, you know, writing and the Fierce Bliss. And it's just, it's so cool.
Yeah. And he pumped up the colors and he flipped the image over so that it was right to him, you know,
and
added little things and took things out. You know, he just made it for us. It was really great.
And what's great is I think this is your first solo album that will be released on vinyl also. So
yeah.
this image is going to pop when you're holding that 12 by 12 disc in your hand. It's going to be great.
That's the idea. Yeah. So that if you're a vinyl collector and if you're listening to it, you can hold it, open it up and pour through all the details and all that.
Now, another song that's a cover on this album is the Eurythmics' Missionary Man.
Yeah.
I was born an original sinner. I was born from original sin. If I had a dollar bill for all the things I'd done, there'd be a mountain of money piled up to my chin. Told me strong. She said, be true to yourself and you can't go wrong. But there's just one thing that you gotta understand. You can fool with your brother, but don't mess with the missionary man. Don't mess with the missionary man.
So often when you cover a song, it's a song that was usually recorded by a man is what I'm finding. And then you put your own twist on it.
Yeah.
What do you do going into covering Missionary Man by another great singer, Annie Lennox? How do you put your own twist or stamp on a song like that?
Well, I don't try to copy Annie or outdo Annie or anything. I just sing it my way. But I like to give respect to the original version of the song. What I did with Missionary Man is I just inflated it, just brought in gospel singers and Kenny Wayne Shepherd and just made it just great big mega church thing, you know?
Yeah.
and it's kind of a comment on what's going on in America now with the religious right and the all that. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, we had so many people in the studio that night. There were something like 30 singers and
wow.
Kenny Wayne and Kenny's dad and my whole band and me and hangers-on and stuff, lawyers and everything, all wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And it was a really big, cool thing.
And I would assume for you, religion is music.
Yes, religion is music. I've never been one much for organized religion.
No.
I think it sort of falls short, you know, of what spirituality really is, but music, that's as organized as I want to get in terms of religiosity.
Yeah. Putting a set list together. Now, again, you have three solo albums, you have two EPs, and then you have all your work with Heart. How difficult is it to whittle all those songs down to 15 or 20, especially when you want to focus on the new music?
Yeah. Well, you know, it helps because it helps to narrow it down because not all the songs in the whole body of work translate to live.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them just don't. They're studio productions that can't be reproduced or they're too many ballads for one show or something like that. So some songs just naturally take themselves out of the running and the ones that work really work. So, so you hone in on those and then try to get as many of the new songs in as the audience attention span will allow.
Right.
Because they get disappointed and discouraged if you don't do Magic Man, Crazy on You.
Barracuda.
Barracuda, yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to do that for them. You know, I want to give them that. So that knocks four songs worth of time out of the running. So then you fill up the rest of the set with the best possible live experiences.
Yeah, when I come see someone who's in a group but they're doing a solo tour, I'm kind of forgiving if they don't play band stuff, because I feel like, well, I'm here to see Anne, so if she doesn't play this and this, I'm okay with that. But that's nice that you're trying to please everyone and please yourself.
Well, I think you're a rare case, I think.
Well, no, I agree. I agree. You can see the disgruntled faces in the crowd if you don't throw down something. Now, do you pick the set list yourself, or are you getting in some input from the band members?
I always pick the set list myself.
And they just have to deal with it, Anne.
Well, I've been doing this for a number of years now, so I think I know how to do it. How to design a set that flows right and keeps people interested and excited and happy, and keeps us interested, excited and happy. Let's not forget to mention the promoters.
Yeah.
Happy, interested.
Yes, exactly. They want to sell tickets. They want the place to be right. Sold out. So if word comes down that Anne's playing all gospel music, people might not be coming out for that, but.
Yeah. A lot of the time in the contracts, when they hire Hart to play or me to play, in the contract, it says it has to be a certain percentage of Hart material.
Wow. Interesting.
They don't necessarily hold you to that much, but it's always in there, you know?
Wow. Because
that's how it is, you know?
I did not know that. So thank you for sharing that. Very, very interesting. Now, going back to when you said some songs just don't translate live, has there ever been a song you can think of off the top of your head that you've always wanted to play live and you could just never get it?
Never get it to light up?
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure that there have been. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple of songs from the Desire Walks On era, mm-hmm. like... Back to Avalon.
Oh, great song.
And, yeah.
Forgive me, I can't stay here anymore. I'm leaving with the tide. This evening, another breeze blew around my door, stirred me up inside. I'm breaking out.
It sounded so great in rehearsal and everything, and everybody loved it. And then we got it out on stage, and the audience was just kind of going, okay, when are you going to do Barracuda? When are you going to do Barracuda? Barracuda!
Frustrating. You
know, so, yeah. Goes with the territory.
Yeah. I really like how you take some of the big 80s hits from that era and you kind of strip it down when you do it live now. Like, I guess Alone would be one that I really feel it's still similar to the original, but it's just, it doesn't have that big 80s production. It's just
so
good. Like you really hear that that's a great song, no matter how you do it.
And
That's the truth. A great song is a great song, and you could do it just acoustically with a guitar, or you can, you know, do it with a cast of thousands and all the 80s glass and keyboards and effects and stuff, and it's still good.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I want to talk about 2012, the Kennedy Center Honors.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, this is possibly one of the best live performances I've ever witnessed in my life.
Oh man.
I mean,
that's a big statement.
Well, I mean, I know you have to be humble, Anne, but I don't have to be humble for you. It's fantastic. Work went into doing that. You've got Jason on drums, you got a choir, you have strings. How much rehearsal was involved? I mean, I know you and Nancy know the song, but how much rehearsal took place for that one performance?
Not that much, really.
Wow.
The day before, I think there was like three or four tops run-throughs. And then the day of, there was a sound check.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, the choirs were being conducted. The stage band was reading charts. So it didn't just happen by magic. I mean, everybody knew exactly what they were supposed to do. And there were two choirs. There's like the smaller group, and then there was a big one. And really great stage band, you know, and Jason, of course. And we had been working with Jason already in Heart. We did this, we took him on tour with us and we did this, our Heart set. And then he came on and we did another like 30 minute set with Jason of all Zeppelin stuff. And boy, was that ever fun. And so I think that may be where the talent scouts for Kennedy Center Honors heard us do it and got the idea.
Well, you know, if anyone can do the Led Zeppelin catalog justice, it's the voice of Ann Wilson. Could you see the guys from stage? Could you see Robert and Jimmy and John? Or were you under the lights so you couldn't really see them?
Well, we were far enough away so that we knew they were up there. We could kind of see them, but we couldn't see detail. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that they were liking it or if they were hating it or liking it until I saw it on YouTube like everybody else, you know? And then the Obamas were there. And Stephen Colbert and David Letterman and Yo-Yo Ma, and just all the people that were there in the audience. It was very high-stress, packed audience with luminaries.
Yeah, and then when you watch that YouTube video and you see, first of all, they're so into it. They're like, they're really grooving. And then Robert gets so emotional. I mean, and then the song's so good that it's released as a digital single. You can go get this thing on iTunes. It's just great. I mean, was that a high point for you to sing in front of these guys?
Yeah. And in front of the president too.
Oh, yes, of course.
And it was a high point, and it was a experience that lasted 6.5 minutes.
So I know. Yeah.
It's over like that. And it's very surreal. It was almost dreamlike now when I think back on it.
Well, yeah, you know, I can't say enough about it. You nailed it. I want to ask about another big duet you did in the 80s with Mike Reno of Loverboy, Almost Paradise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Mike was on the show and he told me that you guys did that in one take and it was the first take.
Yeah. Well, we both had rehearsed and we sang it a bunch of times before they rolled tape. And then when they actually rolled, we were warmed up and we did it. It's a great song.
It seems like perfect love, so hard to find. I'd almost given up. You must have read my mind. And all these dreams I save for a rainy day, they're finally coming true. I'll share them all with you, 'cause now we hope.
And you've never sang it together since then.
I think I remember singing with Mike again in Monterey or something when the two bands were on the same bill.
Okay. Pretty cool. Yeah. Two great ones, Almost Paradise and Surrender to Me.
Yeah.
So the tour starts soon. The album's Fierce Bliss comes out April 29th. Get it on vinyl, get it on CD. I want to talk about, well, your album, Hope and Glory. There's only one original song on that album, Little Problems, Little Lies, written with Ben Mink.
Yes.
And that's my favorite song on the album.
Oh, I mean, thank you.
I like all the covers, but that one is really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Here I lie, I bleed in a bombed out SUV. No more cell reception, no more light to see. Screaming hopeless questions, dreaming about my home. Till a chopper comes from heaven to gather up my bones. And I'm standing on a ledge out here on the edge. And the moon is hanging high. It fills my dying eyes. Little problems, little lies.
Yeah, I was like that one too. And I wrote that about a vision of what it was like to be a soldier in Afghanistan or at that time it was probably Iraq.
Yeah.
And what it would be like if you got hit with an IED and you're lying there by the side of the road and you're dying. What would be going through your mind? You'd be kind of, I don't know, bewildered, I guess.
Yeah.
And the little problems of life would just be kind of slipping away.
Yeah, it's good. It's, I can't imagine anything more horrific than, what makes you think to write a song about that? Like, what makes that pop in your head? And you're like, oh, I'm going to write a song about this.
Well, back in the day when that was written, I think that was 08 or something.
Yeah.
Or 07.
2007.
Yeah. That's what was happening. It was all over the news. It was just hard to believe how many people we were losing.
Yeah.
And how normalized it was becoming. And it seemed to me that that was just such a waste that people were just watching TV and, or they're watching their favorite show like Friends or something. And then, oh yeah, a bunch more soldiers died by the side of the road. Oh yeah, changed the channel. I just thought that was horrific.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. When, you know, like school shootings and stuff like that, we just, they're just, when those things become normalized, that's not how it should be.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. 2018, the Immortal album, mm-hmm. you do a cover of Eagles' Life in the Fast Lane.
Yeah.
And your version is, has such a smooth, cool vibe. It doesn't even open with that signature guitar riff. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's one of those covers that if you don't know, if you haven't read the title and you're just listening, you kind of don't know what the song is for a while. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait.
He was a hard-headed man. He was brutally handsome. She was terminally pretty. She held him up. And he held her for ransom in the heart of the cold, cold city. He had a nasty reputation as a cruel dude. They said he was ruthless. They said he was crude. They had one thing in common. They were good in bed, she'd say. The lights are turning red. Life in the fast lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I didn't want to just ape the Eagles.
Right. Right. Because that would be easy.
Yeah. And I was working with, on that record, working with Denny Fongheiser on drums and percussion. So I just said, okay, Denny, now you're going to be a percussionist. You know, you're going to break them all out. And he did.
With all the songs in the world, when you're looking for something to cover, are these brought to you? Like, do band members like say, Ann, what about this or what about that? Or do you just scour through songs that you love and you'd like to put your spin on it?
Yeah, I scour through songs that I love. They have to be songs that I'm crazy about, you know. That I feel like I can really get inside of.
Mm-hmm. And you have to believe in the words you're singing or else we won't believe it.
That's right. Yeah. And I won't be convincing. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, Ann, it was a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to maybe saying hello to you when you hit Los Angeles on May 9th or 10th. I would love to say hi.
Right. Yeah. Come on to the El Rey.
Yes. It's a great venue.
Yeah.
And, that's going to be a fantastic show. Let me tell everyone where you can find things about Ann Wilson, AnnWilson.com. It couldn't get easier.
Right. Yeah.
Now, Ann,
it's all there.
It's all there. I always ask my guests to pick a playout song from the new album. Now, we've already talked about Greed and we've talked about Love of My Life and we talked about Missionary Man. What song would you like me to end this episode with?
Wow. How about, A Moment in Heaven.
You got it. A Moment in Heaven. And why did you pick that song?
Oh, just it's a good rocker, and it's a character song about the nature of transient success and the star maker machinery of Hollywood. And if you're a one hit wonder.
Yeah, that would be difficult.
So, yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. And thank you so much. A pleasure seeing you. A pleasure talking to you. I look forward to the shows in Los Angeles. And for my listeners, go buy Fierce Bliss. And in closing, please enjoy A Moment in Heaven. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
A newly minted toy, a virgin dream unfolds, and team, it can be sold.
moment in heaven. Break a leg, take a chance, and bear your soul, bear your soul. Hollywood be thy name. Hollywood be thy name. A moment in heaven. Oh, a moment in heaven.
All right, I'm signing off. Oh, there we go.
And she's buying a stay away to heaven.